We're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4. We're back there today. The fourth chapter of Ephesians, it's a full chapter, and we're just going to pick up on the next set of verses and understand what it is that God has for us in those verses. So I want you to ask, when I ask you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and stand as we read, as I read. I'm going to back up and read starting at verse 15. We left off at verse 15 last week. We're going to pick up at verse 15 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way that you learn from Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, would you work in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives today? Help us to hear your word. Take that word deep into us. Enable us to live. For today, we would see Jesus. Show Him to us. Let His presence be abundant in our presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, our kids got it right today. And if I could have carried it on with the children today, I would have. Maybe I could have just preached from my knees in the middle of the church. You heard him say, this is a bad guy, right? What makes a bad guy a bad guy? We've witnessed more bad guys this week. Jim just prayed for the horrible shootings. What makes that happen? I don't know everything that makes it happen. But one thing that I do know is that our words make a difference. And that's what this text is about, our words. And there's a juxtaposition, a pairing in many respects between several of these verses. And I want to walk you through some of those pairings. We have the opportunity to either build each other up or take each other down. And our words are often seen in just that way. And we hear them, we respond to them in just that way. They either build us up or tear us down. And the tearing down ultimately creates the bad guy. But it's also true that keeping those body parts together is as difficult as it was for the kids. They're just, you know, those joints, those little bumps on Legos, they don't always do the right thing. They tend to fall apart, and when you want to pull them apart, they don't come apart. If any of you have built Legos with your kids or grandkids, you know it. There's another thing that happens, and that is you only usually have one opportunity to make that thing that was so beautifully pictured on the box. Have you ever walked through that experience with your grandkids? And then they start remaking it. This piece comes off, that piece comes off. Oh, I want to change it this way and that way. And you never get it back the same because all the pieces go where? in a big round box. And that's where I got those pieces. I just took a couple handfuls, threw them on the floor and said, let's see if I can make five people out of what's there. And every people looked different. Building the body of Christ is a little bit like working with Legos. But what holds us together? It's our words. What takes us apart? It's our words. So I want you to think through this text with me. It is clear that's there. Look at verse 16 and compare it with verse 15. Verse 16 says, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. So, speaking the truth in love, which was the beginning of verse 15, transitions into makes the body grow so that it builds itself up. When we speak words of truth, and we speak them well and wisely and to each other, it builds the body up. That's the front. We move down a little bit into verse 19, and we get the opposite. And the opposite is they have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Is that a difference or what? It's a contrast. And that's simply what Paul's trying to get us to see. It's our words that do one or the other, that build or tear. Let's look at that a little bit, because deceit is the first word that is the negative piece. I want to start with the negative. Deceit. They become callous, have given themselves to, up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. It's a deceit that happens to us. If you look again at those verses, we just recognize that there's something deep that's happening. When we build each other up, it's for keeping. It's for keeping ourselves or for keeping others. What are we going to keep? This text sort of takes that keeping for ourselves and defines it as greed. My words and my relationships are more important than your relationships and your experiences. That's greedy. It's about me. It's not about you. And God tells us, no, make it about others, not about yourselves. The selfishness is when I honor myself more than I honor you, or I protect myself more than I protect you. Look at it as sort of two lenses that are looking at the same thing. I think, well, it's not just about honor. It may also be about, is it wrong to protect myself? No, it's not wrong to protect myself. But Scripture would have us honor others. Scripture would have us protect others. When our focus is on others, protecting and honoring others, we tend to build up. When we reverse that and say, I need to protect myself. I need to protect my... And it is often true, we do need to protect ourselves. So I'm not putting that away. And we need to recognize who God has made us to be. That is, you might call it self-honor. But it's actually simply honoring what God has given to us, what God has made for us. And the protection is to say, I also have a responsibility to protect what God has done. I don't simply throw myself away. But in the body of Christ, if my eyes are focused on myself, I have missed the growing up that God creates and the building that God has intended my words to be. So building each other up, as our verses help us to see here, is for purity. The opposite is impurity. So I help that purity grow rather than help that impurity grow. The thoughts that I have, that you have, they need to be built up so that they honor God together. And we can actually do that. What happens is that we end up encouraging each other or discouraging each other. And all of us have experienced that. When we encourage each other, it pulls us together. When we discourage each other, it divides us and pulls us apart. I mean, it's really simple, isn't it? It's as simple as building a Lego person. You push it together, you squeeze it together, and it sticks together. You pull it apart, you throw it in a bag, and just a bunch of pieces. It's just that simple. And that's what the text is telling us. Listen, pull together. Push it together. Push yourselves together. See where the alignment is. And God will create unity. Use your words for unity. So speaking, secondly, is actually something that builds for growth. It doesn't just build one body. It does, I mean, the kids did it. They built one body. Some of them had some leftover parts. When they go back, they can maybe figure out where the parts fit. And sometimes we wonder if we have leftover parts. And maybe it's just because we haven't seen all the parts that God intended to be there. We didn't see the full pattern. Well, when we build each other up, there's the building of the body, but there's a building for growth. It's not just the body of the church as we see it. It's not just to have every pew filled, but it's that internal growth that we want to look at. And so that's where these verses help us understand what's the alternative to building each other up. Well, it's a deceitful desire. So either we're building each other up, and when I speak words that build you up, it's also going to give me a better way of seeing. And when I have a better way of seeing, then I'm less inclined to have a deceitful desire. What is a deceitful desire? Verse 22 talks about, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So the old manner of life is full of deceitful desires. A deceit is something that's portrayed as true, but is not. Something that's portrayed as a true reality, but it's not reality. So let's just let your mind course through the book of Acts for a minute. You remember the story of Simon the sorcerer. He saw great works being done. He saw the church growing and flourishing. These amazing miracles being done. And he comes and he says, here's some money. I want that power also. It was deceit. He was deceiving himself and he was deceiving others. He was obviously a part of that group, seemingly a part of that body. But what he saw, what he wanted, was the power. He said, here's some money. Give me that power. The church wasn't just about demonstrating power. It was about following Christ. And the words that were given to Simon the sorcerer were not particularly words of encouragement, were they? So, oh yeah, I'll take your money, and here's the power. No. You remember the response? They were words of truth that actually were meant and did build the body. May your money depart with you. Please, pray that it won't happen, Simon backs up and says. They were words of truth that built the body because it was deceit that was at the heart of it. Let your mind move a little bit farther. It was John Mark. John Mark ran away in difficulty. There will always be difficulty in our lives. It doesn't matter whether it's in our business, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our relationships. We're going to have difficulties. The church isn't built up as a place that just says, hey, there's no problem. Come to Jesus and all your problems melt away. Have any of you followed Jesus and never had a problem after that? Actually, sometimes our problems increase. So what's the promise? Well, the promise is that Christ will be with me in my problems. And John Mark had to learn that he couldn't flee it. He couldn't run away from it. Until later in his life and in his ministry and experience, Paul could write and say, send John Mark. I see him as a faithful steward and servant of God. I need him. But earlier not, words of truth brought about change of grace, and it built the body up. Continue thinking. It was Ananias and Sapphira. What did they want? I guess self-glory. They saw everybody else being praised because they brought gifts and great gifts and said, we're going to bring our gifts too. And let's agree. Let's agree in the privacy of our own home how much we sold it for. And it won't be exactly right, but that's okay. We'll get what we think the church is about, and that is giving praise. So they sought after praise, their own praise. And what they got was a place in the ground. Brief words. But that day, Scripture says, there was a fear of the Lord that entered into the presence of the church, and the church as a whole was built up. You just think about these words. You know, our words of truth in love are not always gentle words. Sometimes they are a little shocking words. But they are words that build us up rather than tear us down as a body and in our walk with Christ. So that's how we have to deal with this artificiality. And text tells us we need to put off the old self, put off that artificiality, and put on the new self, the presence of Christ. Put on a new desire, a new spirit of understanding. That's what, again, what verse 22 is all about. Put on that new self. That new self. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self created in the likeness of God Himself. Well, what is it? It's the promise of Christ. It's the promise of Christ's presence in the midst of all of my pains, in the midst of all of my struggles. It's not the outcome of health or of wealth, but it's God's presence. It's the presence of Christ that says, yes, I see your knees buckling. I will hold you. It's the presence of Christ that we speak into each other's lives. I see the pain in your life. Let me walk with you. And if there's failure, if there's wrongness, I want to be able to gently help you see it. Like I want you to gently help me see what's in my life that's causing my knees to buckle, causing my head to get out of joint. We speak the presence of Christ. We speak the preeminence of Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about personal gain, but it's about the preeminence of Christ. Christ Himself will be lifted up. It's a higher, way higher than I am. Way higher than we cannot be the head. You couldn't see the heads of all of our Lego people. There was only one that looked anything remotely like a face or a head. All the rest of them were just, I don't know, chunks. Didn't make any sense at all. You had to use your imagination. One was a little window that could spin in any direction. I don't know if that one would get it right or not, because it didn't look like a head. So sometimes we recognize if Christ is not preeminent, we end up looking strange because we put ourselves in the place of the head. And even the one head that was there didn't have a right part to put it into. It just sort of flopped around. So the preeminence of Christ is when Christ is not only the head of the body, but is fitted into the body, and the whole body functions and works together that the preeminence of Christ might be seen. It's about Christ's glory, not about my glory, not about our fame, not about our notoriety. It's about Christ. It's about what God wants to do, is doing, has done, and in His transformation will do in us. It's a promise of Christ's glory. He's not done. He's not done with me. He's not done with you. That's our hope. God isn't done. He's working. We are works in progress, and we are working on each other. That's the call of the text. Work on each other. Work with each other. That the preeminence, the presence, the glory of Christ is seen. It's not about your strength. It's not about how you gut through the hard things of life. It's about recognizing that I can't do it. I can't walk right. I can't see right. I can't hear right. But Christ gives us strength to keep on. That's the heart of the gospel. I had a mediation this week. And before we started it, one of my co-mediators gave everybody a gospel test. He said, can you speak the gospel in four words? What four words would you choose? Not a sermon, just four words. Think about it for a minute. It was actually a great pre-mediation task because it summarized everything we needed to do. And he asked me to respond as he asked everybody else. I hadn't heard their responses. I was the last in the room. I said, well, for me, the gospel would be summed up by saying, I fail, Jesus forgives. And for me, both things have to happen. I have to know my failure, and I have to feel, sense, and know Jesus' forgiveness. Those two things come together. That's the glory of Christ's strength. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous have these 10 steps. Probably all of you have heard of it. I wish that we had a well-practiced Christian community set of steps. But here's the reality. The practice of Christian community cannot be boiled down to 10 steps. It's boiled down to a step every day. Every day, I recognize my weakness, my failure, my inability. Every day, I hold myself again to the presence of Christ. Every day. And that's what causes Christian community. Third, I want you to look at two more sets of verses. Verse 16, again. Verse 16 makes the body grow up so that it builds itself in love. And verse 24, which would be, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So the new self is created in the likeness of God in true holiness and true righteousness. And that is the definition of being built up in love. True righteousness and true holiness is the love. It's not about a nice feeling. Nice feeling is a good thing. I'm glad for it. But fundamentally, in Christ, it's defined differently. Oh, far more powerfully than, oh, I feel so good about you today. I don't always feel good about myself. And I don't always feel good about others. So I need to understand, what is this righteousness and holiness? These are words that seem sometimes foreign to my own way of thinking. Well, a person is not righteous in God's eyes because they made a certain choice or they made a certain commitment or they're doing the right things. It's not because of his good works. It's not because of the good things that I've done. It's not because of my piety. It's not because I pray so many hours a day or I read so many verses of Scripture a day. That's not what God calls righteousness. Righteousness is because the Father, my Heavenly Father, has chosen me from the foundations of the earth. And hey, wait a minute. My righteousness is because God chose me? Yeah. My righteousness is based on God's choice. Say, well, that means that if a person isn't chosen by God, then they can never have righteousness. Well, simply, yes. But here's what happens. God has called me, and I don't always understand that He's called me until I'm in His grip. And then I realize, because I have made a choice to receive His love, to receive His goodness, to receive His grace, to receive His righteousness, that actually He called me first. That's simply what it's saying here. is that the love of God has constrained my heart that I might love Him. That is righteousness. Righteousness is because Christ's choice is imputed to us. Christ's right choice of going to the cross is given to us. Christ's rightness, righteousness of walking in a sinless way is imputed to us. It's given to me. It's counted as mine. What Christ does is given to me. Righteousness comes because of Christ's sacrifice for me, not my sacrifice for Him. That's not righteousness. If it is, it's only man's righteousness and it only gives me glory. I don't have glory. God has glory. So He takes the righteousness of Christ and He gives it to me. I am righteous as I see Christ's sacrifice for me. Our speaking to each other is to remind each other of that righteousness and of the need for us to choose that righteousness. That's what He calls you to do. That's what He calls us to do in the body. Choose Christ. Choose Jesus. And to speak into each other's lives and say, is that choice the choice of Christ? God just calls us back and forth. Look at that. Understand it. True holiness. What is true holiness? It's another one of those words we use a lot and often have difficulty getting our hand around. J.C. Ryle was a turn of the last century. He died actually in about the end of, I think it was, maybe it was early 1900s. He was a bishop in England, well known, wrote a whole book, often quoted, on holiness. And if I could sort of bubble that whole thing down to one sentence that he wrote, is that holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God, according as we find His mind described in Scripture. It's the habit of agreeing in God's judgment, hating what He hates, loving what He loves, and measuring everything in the world by the standard of His Word. That's a little more than a two-word sentence of holiness, but I think you get what it is. Let me put it back to Legos. You get a nice little Lego kit, comes in a cellophane box, it's got a picture of whatever it is that you're going to make. You rip it open, it's got a bunch of little packets of this little thing, that little thing, that are all separately colored. You've gone through it, and your grandchild or your son or your daughter says, I can't follow directions very well, will you help me? And you're thinking, I can't follow directions very well either. But we'll work on it together. So you get the book and you take this piece, and you put it here, and this piece, and this. That's the book. That's the Word. God's just saying, listen, follow my directions. I've given them to you. Piece by piece, put them together. Build each other up. That's all He's saying. And the things that God doesn't want, don't put it there. The things that God does want, put it there. And build each other up. Our words of love. We speak to each other so that we can actually turn our minds to Christ. That's what our speaking is for. It's in this world, we've completely flipped it. Just, think for a minute how much we have flipped this thing over. If you're a Facebook user, you want thumbs up. Everybody gives me a thumbs up, right? And if you give me a thumbs down, well, you're mean and ugly. I want to delete that. If you're a Twitter, repost my tweet. Help everybody know how wonderful my tweeting is. Right? We just want to be amplified. What God is saying is amplify my word. Amplify my truth. Amplify my righteousness. Amplify my goodness. My holiness. And when you amplify Him, we're built up. And you might never get 500 or 5,000 or 5 million followers. That's not quite the point. The point is, will Christ Jesus have more followers because of your voice? That's the question. Will you be able to take His righteousness, His truth, and amplify that so that a world might be able to see it? Verse 21 holds us to account here, and I want you to see again verse 21, because it's a condition. Assuming that you have heard about Him, that is Christ, and you were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. So all of this speaking, all this building up, assumes that you are in Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, are you in Christ? I'm not asking if you've ever confessed your sins to God and claimed the power of Christ, but are you in Christ? When you speak to each other, are you in Christ? When you struggle together, are you in Christ? This week, we will speak to each other on Wednesday. I hope you are there. We need to speak to each other in Christ, because we need to hear each other. We need to hear the experiences that we experience. We need to hear the words that we heard. We need to sense the Spirit of God working in us about the one that God is calling to pastor this congregation. That's speaking in Christ. And we need to do it. The challenge of Legos is that we have to read the directions and we have to follow them. And it's not just building at one time. It's building it again and again and again. And that's what God's called you to. Speak the truth in love and build up the body of Christ. And God will be with us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we hear Your word. And sometimes our words rattle in our memory and brain. And we recognize that our words have not always built up others. Would You help us this week to measure our words, to reflect on them, to lift up Jesus in our midst? For as we lift Him up, the hope that we have of His strength, the hope that we have in His direction, then we know that not only will we be built up, but Your church, right here at Grace, will all be built up. So turn our eyes, we pray, upon Jesus. Turn our ears to Your word. Open our hearts to Your presence, that our hearts might be open to each other, that our ears might be open to hear what You speak to us through others, that our mouths might be loosened so that we might speak Your words to others. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, build us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.